Are you struggling to believe that there is a purpose for your life? That after all you've been through, seen, or done, that there is a chance you'll ever find peace and wholeness again? Welcome to Love and Be Loved. This podcast explores what matters to us the most. Overcoming adversity, success stories on relationships with God, ourselves, and others. Now here is your host, Lena Cibula.
I'm so grateful that you're listening today. I have an amazing guest. Amanda Blackwood. She is an author, speaker, and survivor of human trafficking. Few points that we're gonna talk about. It's human trafficking and escape strategies, life after trauma and abuse, and healthy way to cope. Amanda says, it's not enough to say I believe in myself. I have to strive toward my goals with determination and prove to myself that I do. Speaking up isn't a small thing. Anyone who speaks up about trauma or abuse have searched their soul for answers. Many are still searching. Some just need to learn how to do it in a healthy way. But all of them need to be heard. She said, the abuse didn't make me strong. I was already strong. I just needed to learn that for myself. Welcome, Amanda, to Love and Be Loved podcast.
Hi, thank you for having me.
And I believe it's a key time for us all as individuals to educate ourselves about human trafficking. And it's crucial to learn to spot the red flags. Your mother, a perfect candidate for Love and Be Loved platform, which is designed to encourage, inspire, to give hope. I'm so grateful that you have agreed to share your expertise with us and experience and sharing your story. And please, Amanda, tell us a little bit about yourself and where your journey begins.
So my name is Amanda. I am 42 years old. I live in Denver, Colorado with my amazing husband, and we have six cats and dogs, so basically a petting zoo. I'm an outspoken survivor of human trafficking, and as recently as last year, I published my autobiography as a survivor of trafficking. My story starts as far back as I can remember, and that was about when I was 4 years old. That didn't start with the trafficking, that started with the abuse, which was the precursor that led to trafficking eventually.
Wow. Would you be open to share your story in a little bit in details if it's okay with you?
Absolutely. So when I was about 4 years old, my brother and I were both taken to the doctors. My mother wanted to know if we need to be put on medication. So the doctors told my mom that my brother had attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, which is known as ADHD, and they gave him Ritalin. When they examined me, they said that I was just a normal child. My mom thought I had too much energy and she didn't want to believe the doctors. So rather than believing them, she started breaking my brother's pills in half and giving them to me every day also. At about 5 years old, she took me off of the medication for about a week. So I was a five-year-old going through drug withdrawals. And the doctors did another examination of me. And because of the drug withdrawals, they assumed that I was also hyperactive. So they put me on the medication too. That started the beginning of a slow decline of my life into this world of abuse and believing that all this stuff was perfectly normal. I was assaulted and molested multiple times from multiple different parties as a child. And eventually I thought that that was normal too. At 18 years old, I was dating a man who was more than twice my age, who loaned me out to his buddy for his birthday in Las Vegas. There I was raped and assaulted and taken back to Arizona, where I was living at the time. And as soon as I landed, I took off. I didn't want to be there anymore. I didn't like who I was with. I didn't like who I was becoming. And I ended up getting married to another man who was more than twice my age, who was abusive. In my attempt to escape from him, I went to Florida, where I ended up trusting the wrong people, a young couple named Adam and Jenny, who then sold me to the highest bidder. And I was locked away for 23 and a half hours in a small room with no food, no water, and no bathroom facilities. I wrote that book first, published that one back in 2018. It's called Detailed Pieces of a Shattered Dream. But I knew that there was so much more that I needed to tell after telling that story. It was just, that was the first steps. That was the gateway for me to start learning how to talk about all of the abuse and stuff that I'd suffered. None of the other stuff was I willing to talk about yet, because I blamed myself. Victims blame themselves for a lot of the stuff that they go through, and I was no exception to that. So it took me a few years, and I kept on hearing this voice in the back of my head, which was God telling me, you need to write your story. And I thought it was because I needed to tell my story to the whole world and to get it out there. But that wasn't it at all. The whole reason that I needed to tell my story, that I needed to write my story, was because that was a part of my personal journey and my healing. Only by re-examining my entire past, starting from when I was 4 years old and being put on these drugs and dealing with sexual assaults and rapes and molestations and physical abuse and mental and emotional abuse, only by examining this entire long history of abuse was I able to really start my healing journey. And starting that healing journey is what led me down the path to eventually meeting the man that would become my husband and my best friend. I wouldn't have been ready for that relationship if I hadn't gone through the process of trying to figure everything out. I needed a lot of help along the way. I did elicit the help of two different therapists along the way. Both of them here in Colorado, local organizations, just absolutely amazing people that really helped me to process some of the stuff that I was dealing with. And in the middle of writing this book, my ex-husband died. And when I told you that when I escaped that bad situation, I got married to a man that was more than twice my age. We had been long since divorced, but he was the father of my only child. And he died in the middle of that. And it was like this coming together of all of my worlds, all of these different lives and existences that I had lived, all rolled into one massive tight ball. And if I had not already started writing the book, I don't think I would have been okay with being able to process what had just happened to my ex-husband either. It's amazing what trauma does to our brains and to our bodies. It screams inside us wanting to get out, and we end up taking out all this anger and frustration on people that we love and people that we don't even know. I needed to get past that, and writing my book was how I did that.
Wow, that's an amazing. First of all, thank you so much for sharing. Thank you so much for being honest and open, because I know it's hard to be vulnerable and to speak out about it. And that's how I know that you are healed, because the way you speak, the way your eyes light up, because you are overcomer and you're on another side already, and you inspire and give hope. And how beautiful and shiny your face is. I don't know, guys, one day maybe you're gonna see some video clips, but I'm telling you, the woman that's sitting in front of me, it's just beautiful soul. I can see in her eyes and her smile, and that's the life worth living. Sometimes we're stuck in the past, and I'm so grateful that you be able to heal, because honestly, without looking back, it's impossible to move forward, because we have to deal with that victim mentality as well. I'm 100%, I understand you. And actually, before recording, I said to Amanda, oh my goodness, creating questions for this podcast and reading your biography, it's very similar to my story. I went through human trafficking, a little bit different. I had some good childhood memories up to I was probably 6 to 10 years old, you know, and my world broke loose because my parents became an alcoholics, lost their jobs, and there was drugs, abuse, rape, and trafficking. And I was trafficked actually to different countries as well, you know. But interesting part, how you said God make me do it and write the story, because I wrote my biography the same way, because God saved me and healed me, and I thought I'm gonna do it for everybody else. I didn't want to share my story. I was so scared. I cried for 3 days. I'm like, why do I have to do this? So I just want to be obedient because I didn't want people know who I really was, because I thought my story was of shame, guilt, and condemnation. But now I know this God's story of salvation, and we have to share those stories, because if I would see you on the street, even like how I compliment you on that, your profile picture, you are so beautiful. And look at you, like nobody would even, if you don't read your bio, nobody ever thinking like, oh, that's what she went through. Everybody thinking, oh my gosh, you're probably super rich, super model, you know, with the glorious childhood. I don't know, but guys, trust me, everybody have trauma, even supermodels. So don't compare yourself to anyone. but the fact is, you know, by the way we're sharing our stories, it inspires someone else. Or for us, for example, that we're sharing similar trauma, we can inspire ourselves and encourage each other, and knowing that you are not alone. This is not because of you. It just happened to you. And, you know, and thanks God that you went through it and victorious on another side with the love of your life after everything. So the same happened to me. For 3 years, I wrote my autobiography, and I dealt with my trauma, with the therapist, with God, you know, for 3 years. And I never thought that it was for me. I thought like he wanted me to encourage somebody else. But by the end of that book being written, I felt so relieved because I didn't speak about it for 20 years. It's been hidden in my heart, in my soul, in my mind, and it was coming out as a trauma with negative behavior. So it cannot be like, you cannot be healed and have a thriving relationship if that baggage is still there. So yes. I was so impressed how different I felt. Like what this process did for you writing that book?
It was my way of being able to let go and to remember that the things that happened to me were not about me. The things that happened to me, the abuse, was about the person who perpetrated the abuse. I was, after all of the other abuse that I had suffered, I knew a man for 7 years who asked me to get a fiance visa and move over to Scotland to be with him. We were going to get married. And within a couple of weeks of me getting there, he began trafficking me. Mm-hmm. He was a police officer in Scotland.
Wow.
I blamed myself. And a lot of other people told me that I should blame myself because I made the decision to go over there. I made the decision to get engaged to this man. But what they fail to remember is that I knew this man for 7 years. This wasn't a spur of the moment decision, just a last minute, hey, I'm going to be flippant and give up my entire life to go be with this person that I don't know. I knew this man a long time, and he exploited me. He knew everything about my past. He knew about the past abuses, and he knew how to exploit that because he was a student of human nature. He was a police officer. He was observant. He knew how to do this. And I blamed myself for many years for that entire time that I had been living in Scotland until I escaped. I blamed myself until I wrote the book. Even though I had forgiven myself and moved on from all of the other past abuses, everything that I had been through, and I started to realize that all these people that told me that these things happened to me because it was my fault, they were wrong. I had forgiven myself. I had moved away from all of that except for Scotland. And writing that book, I took my power back. This man still tries to attack me. He still puts, I don't want to get too graphic here, but he still puts rape videos of me up on different pornography websites and still makes money off of me. My former trafficker is still, in a sense, making money off of me, which means that he's still trafficking me. I'm free. I'm married. I'm living a great life now, and he's still making money off of me. But that's not my fault. That's not my problem. That's not my issue. I have a legal team that deals with all that stuff whenever it pops up now. The one thing that I have to remember is that anytime somebody comes across that, if they do find out who I am, because they do, they inevitably always do, because he puts my real name up there, then if they research me and try to find me, they're going to find out about him too, because I've told my story and I've moved on from it.
Wow, that's so powerful. Honestly, I have goosebumps. First of all, the way you're talking about forgiving yourself, you know what I mean, and move on from this victim mentality. And the fact that you actually don't feel vengeance and like this retribution and want to kill and destroy, because hate is so negative. And you definitely going to be affected by all this like negative emotion and destroy your life. So honestly, that's, for me, it's just very powerful, you know, that you let that go and let the legal team and everybody else to deal with him, because his sins are on him.
Yes.
And that's why you're able to have this beautiful life and loving husband and have open the relationship. And the fact that you're not afraid, that is huge too. That's one in your past. I feel the same. I was so afraid that people are going to judge me, that they're going to reject me, that they're going to leave me because of who I am. And by that time, I already was and a wife and a mother of three kids we have. And I've been a churchgoer and a member, and I'm making this food for people, and I was a hairstylist that time. You know, people already know the carefully crafted persona who I created to show to them. And now I have to tell them my past. I thought they're going to stone me, rejecting me. And that was my biggest fear, because my parents rejected me, because they abandoned me. So I was so afraid that I'm going to be alone. And I heard God saying to me, just trust me, whoever love you, they will never leave you. And I've been speaking about it. My book been published since 2019. I have like an amazing feedback. People coming, hugging me after me speaking. They loving on me. They keep saying, this is not your fault. And you loved and you are amazing. And they saying stuff like, you're brave, you're overcomer. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's not what I was saying in my head. That's not what I was imagining. And then people start coming and telling their story. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I would never say that about her, because how wonderful her life it's look. And everybody have a trauma. And only because when you speak in your truth, somebody else gonna come up and say, I've been there, I understand, all my friends been there. And then they comes for solution, like, so what did you do? How did you happen? I have a friend, I have this, like, I need help. So actually, I want to ask you this next question, please, Amanda. Can you define human trafficking and share some of the escape strategies with us?
Absolutely. So the Department of Homeland Security defines it as using the means of force, fraud, or coercion in order to elicit labor or sex from another person. But that's very much a textbook definition. To me, to just my personal definition of human trafficking, is somebody who's forced into doing something that they don't want to do so that other people can make gains off of that, whether that's money, whether that's popularity, because I see that in a lot of high schools. If that's something as simple as, I don't know, receiving a different favor in return. For the exchange that took place when I was 18 years old in Arizona, the one man received drugs in exchange for borrowing me. Yeah, that wasn't a monetary exchange. And that was painful. It was difficult for me to understand that I was worth no more than a parking lot rental for a day. That was bad. That was really horrible. To me, human trafficking is one of the most degrading things that can possibly happen to a person. I remember I was a survivor of rape and molestation and physical abuse, emotional and mental abuse, all of that. Every now and then somebody will come to me and say, oh, I understand what you mean. I had an uncle who molested me when I was a child. And while I completely understand that, yes, that is a horrible experience, I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemies. It's not the same. And people don't truly ever understand what somebody else has gone through, including other survivors of trafficking, unless they themselves were in that position. And there's nobody in the world who knows your story other than you.
Yes, definitely. It's so complex and hideous. This crime is hideous. And it's so sad that people do this to other people. And I'm just, my heart goes on to everyone who has went through this trauma or who's still dealing with this trauma. One thing I want to tell you guys, there is hope. Just don't give up day by day. And I want to tell you that your life is significant and you are valuable. So it will, the time that you will see and understand this, it's just going to take some time. But is there, I like to know, what do you think about the strategies of escape if somebody's still dealing with this? And sometimes like people don't even like aware that they be in traffic, or people around them not aware that they are trafficked. But when they're already looking for the means of escape, when they know that this is happening to them, is there anything they can do?
There are some organizations and some people out there that are able and willing to help. Escaping is really difficult, especially based on the situations. A lot of times the coercion that's used, it comes in forms of threats. So the trafficker will tell the victim, I know where you live. I know where your mother and father live, or your brother, or your sister. One of my friends who was trafficked at a very young age was told, if you ever tell anybody or if you ever try to get away from me, I know where your little sister is and I will come and get her instead. These are really horrible scare tactics that are used, and they're not always threats. I knew another person whose trafficker went and got her dog from her backyard and killed her dog in front of her in order to prove to her that they were going to do whatever it took to keep her with them. I mean, these are awful, awful people, but you need professional help in a lot of cases. I got really lucky. I didn't even realize what I had been living through was considered human trafficking until I started doing a lot more research once I escaped. Once I realized it, it's like, he probably could have killed me and nobody would have ever found the body. I also tried to kill myself while I was over there and nobody would have found the body. It's not worth dying. It's worth living. Absolutely. It is worth fighting and reclaiming your life. But if you need professional help, don't hesitate to find it. Out here, specifically in the state of Colorado, I would say you could reach out to a company, an organization called Covered Colorado. They're amazing. They have a small group of us survivors. We meet occasionally in order to do crafts or go through a learning exercise or a writing exercise or any number of things that helps us internally to process our trauma without what we call trauma vomiting all over the place, with telling tidbits and horror stories of our own past and triggering these emotions and traumas in other people. A lot of the trauma vomiting happens with somebody who's brand new and they don't understand how to reel that back in and how to use that for a positive purpose to get through the healing process. Those are the organizations I think that across the world need really more recognition. They're doing the hard work and they really, really want more survivors within their groups. They need more funding to do this in a lot of times. So anybody who's looking to help out organizations, look for one of those also. But for anybody that's looking to get out, to escape, there's resources if you know where to look for them. You can look on LinkedIn, look for Joseph Scaramucci. You can go to Covered Colorado's website. There's the National Human Trafficking Hotline. In one of my books, I have international and statewide anti-trafficking organizations listed for every single state in the U.S. They are out there. You just make sure that you find one that's willing to do the work and knows what they're doing. The average number of times that it takes for somebody to escape human trafficking, I was trafficked 3 times, but the average number for somebody who tries to escape is 7 times before it finally sticks, before they're finally out. And there's a variety of reasons of why, but just understand that if you've tried to escape once and you weren't able to do it, it doesn't mean that it's over. It doesn't mean that you need to stop. Keep trying. Fight hard, get out. You will get there eventually, I promise.
That's amazing. Thank you so much. And if you give me this information, I will post everything in show notes. And yes, thank you. And so many good points you touch on. And people have to understand that it's so complex. And sometimes victims are vulnerable and linked to the exploiters via trauma bonds. And that's what they exploit and manipulate, because I do believe the most pervasive myth about human trafficking, that it often involves kidnapping or force. It really can happen, but most traffickers are use psychological means, like you were talking about, as and same as manipulation and threats, you know. So we have to be aware, not scared, but education is the key. And when we actually understand this without panic, we definitely can have create and more awareness. And for people who would like to get out, definitely lots of resources, like you just mentioned, and hotlines and nonprofits, and they are fantastic. And if you guys want to partner up, sometimes, like I do believe with things that, whoa, human trafficking, it's so worldwide spread hideous crime, and I'm only one person, what can I do? Partner up with people who are already on the ground. And guess what? We're now more in numbers. Last 5 years, like, I didn't even hear people spoke about human trafficking and trauma and recovery and survivors the way we're talking now. So today is the day. Honestly, find the organization that provide the help to survivors or doing outreach and partner up. Sometimes people say, oh, I don't have enough funds to partner up. You can volunteer your time. You can volunteer your resources. Oh my goodness. You can just come and support someone with the goodness of your heart, you know. But of course, if God bless you with the resources and you're thinking, oh my goodness, this organization does such an amazing job to take care of the people, support them. They need funds. They're already doing such an amazing job, and they provide and housing and some legal support, and they do like different recovery groups. So they're already on the ground. So you can and educate yourself and partner up with some organization and definitely learn about red flags, because one day you might save someone's life.
Yeah. Absolutely. I've actually been really lucky. Ever since writing the book, I've had multiple people come to me and say, hey, I don't know what's going on, but I believe there's a possibility I may be dealing with human trafficking. I think I might be trafficked. I've personally been able to coach a couple of these people into receiving assistance and reaching out to organizations within their states to be able to get the help that they've been looking for and needing. They've been helped with housing, essentials. Some of the people, like you said, who don't have the money to like just donate to organizations, what they're doing instead is they're having those people as volunteers collecting things like shampoo and conditioner and feminine products and all kinds of stuff to be able to help these young ladies out. And then taking them in large laundry baskets and delivering to their doorsteps and then leaving anonymously. So they're making a huge impact, even if they're never seen, even without offering even a penny to the organizations. They're making a massive difference in these people's lives. It's amazing. I was the recipient of a couple of those baskets. At the time, I was in desperate need. I'm not so much in desperate need anymore, thank goodness, but there's so many that are. And just that little tiny bit of a move can make all the difference in somebody's life.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for sharing. And yeah, my heart overwhelms because, well, first of all, yeah, I just want to say congratulations on writing your book and your autobiography, and your actually another book is coming out soon. And it's beautiful. And you donate part of the proceeds to the organization that you support and the survivors of human trafficking. I think I skipped like a couple questions because I was so excited to think about the organization that I support here as well. And that's how I started. And before my book actually come up through our church, we have this organization called Fight for Freedom, and it's nonprofit that fights against human trafficking. So when they came to educate and launch outreach through our church, I was thinking, oh my goodness, now I'm on another side. I want to do something for survivors as well. But I couldn't go to strip clubs. I realized I have a PTSD to be on the street past 9 o'clock. And that's another thing, because they have variety different outlets that I could be part of it without putting myself in the, like, not in danger and more like psychological danger, because it's like bothers me, nobody asking me to be somewhere that I'm not uncomfortable. So I just been on a prayer team and we've been making the gifts and like little donation here and there. But then we had a huge fundraising when we actually have a Walk for Freedom and Run for Freedom. I'm like, whoa, I can do that as well. And I did fundraiser through my platform, you know, through all my media. So I literally was doing exactly what I can do with what I have. And it did make a huge difference, because collectively, like, we've been... you know, maybe I got like $400 out of that fundraiser, but collectively we got $1,000s and we donated to this place and that. And it's so cool how one person, you think like it's not much different, but do something with what you have. And then collectively, the people actually got, so many women got the place and all this help. And it just made me so happy. And now same with my book, I donate some proceeds to support survivor or the street ministry. I couldn't go on the street after 9, but I have an amazing leader who is my friend. I'm like, okay, what do you need? So I sold the books and she's like, oh, we need a gift card for the coffee shop, or we need like the nail polish and all this stuff. And I'm so excited that I can impact someone with my story, and it just making difference in someone's life. And how you said, such a small thing, but when you are on the receiving and when somebody comes to you and for free says, like, even like anonymously say, here, we know that you're here, we're thinking you are here, you are valuable, we care. And when you think like you're alone, worthless, hopeless, helpless, and somebody come and give you even like hygiene products for women, you know, that's huge thing.
And those things are expensive.
Yeah. And if you cannot afford and cannot care for you, that's a huge stress on like the mental health, you know, to think that you cannot take care of yourself even properly. So yeah, I'm really excited. So that's what I want to talk to you about, your new book and your autobiography. And what changed in your life since you wrote this book? And yeah, just tell us a little bit about that.
Well, this book, that's the one, that's my autobiography, Custom Justice. It even has a couple of photos in the back of me growing up and being a little kid. So it's kind of cute too. But it is a pretty heavy material book. So if somebody is not ready for this kind of a heavy read, I always encourage them that if you do pick this up and you are reading this, give yourself some time. Make sure that you understand that these chapters are kept short for a good reason. It's because this is a very difficult subject matter to get through. So you can always stop after a chapter or stop in the middle of a chapter and come back to it. Let yourself process, let yourself feel everything that you're going through, especially for somebody else who's already a trauma survivor. This is going to be a little triggering. I did leave a lot of explicit details out for obvious reasons. I don't want people to think that this is a glamorous lifestyle, because there's nothing about human trafficking that is at all glamorous, much unlike what Hollywood has tried to make it look like over the last several decades. So take your time with that one. But book number 10, that's coming out on June 30. I'm really excited about this one. I'm so excited about this book. It's called The Road We Left Behind, and it is going to have one last revision on the cover of the book. It's a secret at the moment. It'll be revealed a couple of days before the book is available, before the book goes live. But the book itself is actually inspired by the true story of my own grandmother. So the book talks about a young lady who grew up, and when she's introduced in the book, she's an old grandmother, and she's talking to her granddaughter, who was me. And she's talking to her granddaughter about how she wasn't always old and frail, and she used to be quite vivacious and energetic. And I grew up with my grandmother intermittently telling me stories of her youth and confiding in me different parts and different aspects of her life that other people on the planet don't know about. And they're going to completely think that it's 100% fiction. And while a lot of it is fiction, not all of it is. So it's about this young lady who grew up in the 30s and 40s during Prohibition, the Great Depression, the beginning of World War II. And she fell in love when she was in high school with a young man by the name of Arthur. And Arthur flew airplanes. He was a crop duster on his large family farm. And my grandmother, having seen a couple of wing walkers, wanted to learn how to be a wing walker. If you don't know what that is, I encourage you to look it up, check out some of the old videos. But these women used to climb up on top of the wings of the airplanes and do acrobatic stunts while the plane is flying through the air. Unbelievable. But my grandmother had her heart broken by this Arthur. And I won't go into too many details. There is a lot to this story. And I am super excited about this book. But if you want to know what happens, you got to get the book. It's going to be available in ebook and paperback and hardcover. Barnes & Noble, Amazon, pretty much everywhere you go for your ebooks. As of the 30th of this month, the very last day of the month. And the reason I picked June was that was one of her favorite months, because that was when she felt the world really came to life.
That's awesome. What has been the most memorable moment of your career so far?
Oh, gosh. And it's strange, you know, I get up and I talk at these events, and I have put on my own events talking about human trafficking and busting some of the myths involved with what people think trafficking is. And all of these things have left such an impact on me, and they've all been so memorable. But I got to say, the most memorable thing of anything that I've done with writing, with speaking, anything at all, was when I published my first book, Detailed Pieces of a Shattered Dream. I had a really good friend, his nickname was Peanut, and Peanut put together a book release party for me. And me and I think 9 of my friends, I think there were 10 of us at the table, we all went out for dinner. And while we were there, they asked me to do a reading, and I stood up and I read the introduction to the book. And while I was standing there, I realized how far I had come in life from who I was when I was in the midst of being trafficked and abused. And I couldn't help it. I had these big fat tears just streaming down my face as I was reading this introduction. And when I got done, I was thinking, these people don't care about this. This is, you know, this is this is something I feel, they're not going to care about this. And when I sat down, I looked around the table and not one dry eye was at that table. I made every single person at that table cry, and every single one of them wanted to get involved in some way with helping to fight human trafficking because of what they'd heard me talk about. And that had such a huge impact on me that it really drove me forward to continue on, not just with my writing, but definitely with speaking and with trying to touch more people's lives.
That is beautiful. Yes. Wow. Amazing. Thank you so much for sharing. So Amanda, where can people go and find out more about your work, you and your work? And you have an amazing gift for our listeners as well.
Thank you. I am all over the place. So I've got a website, detailedpieces.com. I'm on TikTok under @detailedpieces. I'm on Instagram under @detailedpieces. I'm on Facebook. If you just look on Facebook for Amanda Blackwood, the Survivor. I have a podcast of my own, Amanda Blackwood, the Survivor, which right now is rated at, I believe, number 3. I don't remember if it's in the nation or in the world for human trafficking podcasts, which I'm very proud about. I didn't know that until just a couple of days ago. Where else am I? I'm on Twitter, but I don't really do a whole lot there. I'm all over the place. But more than anything, I am usually on Facebook. I interact with everybody. I make sure I post at least once a day. And lately, it's all been me wanting you to know other people. What's your favorite book? What's your favorite soda? Mine is Diet Dr. Pepper because I'm weird. You know, that kind of stuff. I'm going to give away 5 copies of Custom Justice to some lucky winners. And I'm going to give away 1 preliminary early edition, just 1, of my brand new book, The Road We Left Behind. So super excited.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. So guys, if you would like to book, so what they have to do, email you?
So they want to subscribe to my podcast and then email me at authoramandablackwood@gmail.com to let me know they've subscribed to the podcast, and then they are entered into the drawing to win. It's that simple.
That's awesome. And I'm going to post all the information in show notes so you guys know. And before I let you go, Amanda, I would like to ask you my signature question. What does love and to be loved means to you?
Oh, to love and to be loved. Up until recently, I wouldn't have known what that meant. Right now, it means Kyle. That's my husband's name. It means trust and patience and understanding and kindness and gentleness. And oh gosh, he did something yesterday that just really drove the whole thing home for me. He showed me with a simple gift, not exactly a small gift, but a gift. He showed me that he believes in me. And to me, that's what it means to love and to be loved.
Beautiful. And I'm so glad that after all this struggle, trauma, hardship, you finally find the love and hope and trust, because it's beautiful. And I'm so grateful that you shared that with us. Is there any final thoughts, Amanda?
Believe in yourself. And that was the hardest part for me throughout everything, was trying to believe in myself. Believe in yourself, and other people will too.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. Thank you, Amanda, for being our guest. you provided so much insight. We really appreciate you sharing with us today. Our special guest is Amanda Blackwood. Amanda is an author, speaker, and artist, and the survivor of human trafficking. And portion of every book sale goes to help fight human trafficking and to help other victims still trapped. And Amanda shared her story as a survivor and how she has overcome the past and finally found real love. And again, don't hesitate to reach out to Amanda. I will post links to everything was mentioned in this episode so you guys can check her out. And stay tuned for another edition of Love and Beloved. And thank you so much for listening. And thank you, Amanda. So grateful for you and your time.
Thank you very much.
And
And remember, you are never alone. You are loved. You are God's treasure, precious and priceless to Him.
Thank you for listening to Love and Be Loved. If you have any questions about what you heard today, visit lovedandbeloved.com. It's love and the letter B with no E, loved.com. Please be sure to subscribe, rate, and share the show. This podcast is made possible by listeners like you. Thank you for your support. If you'd like to connect, we would love to hear from you. So send a quick note to lenasabula@gmail.com. Stay healthy, stay safe, love and be loved.